to the Pinstripe Valley Podcast. Spring training has begun, and the Yankees are actually playing baseball games. I mean, they're not baseball games that actually matter at all, but they are baseball games nonetheless. So, that is exciting. I'm Andrew Mearns here with Matt Provenzano and Matt Franchik. How you guys doing?
Good. Baseball's on.
Yes.
Baseball is back. And we've had...
The games don't matter, but yeah. That doesn't stop people from overreacting.
Yeah, we've had two interleague games and one intra-squad game where a bunch of New York beat writers made too much ado about the Yankees playing against a pitching machine.
Even though it is pretty funny, let's be honest.
It is so spring training, the most spring training. And then, of course, like, front page news was A-Rod hitless against pitching machine. He's hopeless.
Hitless in batting practice.
Yes.
Big news.
So, A-Rod is just inevitably going to be a hot topic all spring, unfortunately, but as far as what he's actually done versus what's been reported, it's been really quiet, and I think that's a good thing. Like, he's just done spring training, and that's about it.
Yeah, he's kind of stayed out of his own way, which he needs to. And I think after that ESPN the Magazine article, you can kind of see that he's trying to just, like, stay out of his own way and just do his business. So I'm hoping that he actually follows his own advice and just does his business and just keeps his mouth shut. Because I think if he plays okay, you know, decently, and he doesn't make any waves, it'll just, as Joe Girardi said today in the interview during the game, it just becomes sort of a non-story after a while. So I'm just, like, keeping my fingers crossed that we're not, like, getting tweets from beat writers about every little thing that A-Rod does forever.
Well, that'll just happen regardless.
Yeah. If he, like, doesn't see a kid, like, and doesn't sign something for him, that's going to be, like, a story for 2 days.
I don't know if you guys saw I don't know if it didn't actually say two-hole clause, but someone made the two-hole clause reference to A-Rod. They were like, A-Rod is batting second today. He we're now in the post-Jeter era.
That's better than someone else tweet. I think it was Ian O'Connor, one of the ESPN New York writers. And he said, like, oh, here's a tweet. A-Rod is batting second today. His friend Reggie Jackson once said of batting second, I haven't done that since Little League.
Reggie Jackson doesn't think it's a good idea before... adding, I must kill the queen.
So,
and then A-Rod responded and said, I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
Hey, there's still time for him to go full heel and, you know, on opening day, you could, like, go out to shortstop even if, like, he's not supposed to be the shortstop, then he'll, like, rip a Jeter jersey and set it on fire. I'm your new shortstop now.
Who is your god? Yeah, who is your god now? Yeah, I'm hoping this will be a non-ish story. Relatively soon, at least once the season actually starts and, like, we're playing real games and things are moving, they actually have to start covering the real team, not just A-Rod. In theory.
Yes. I mean, in theory.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that has been good is that it's kept the media from hounding Didi Gregorius about, like, so, you're not Derek Jeter.
Correct. Good analysis.
That'd be great if that was, like, a response, actually, that had, like, hashtag analysis.
He said something along those lines where it was just, you know, that he was trying to not, you know, step in for Derek Jeter, just sort of do his own thing. Let's see if I can find the quote.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he can do.
Yeah, he said, so if they compare... Yeah, he said, what Jeter did, nobody's going to do, so if they compare me to Jeter, there's nothing I can do. As much of a non-answer that is... It makes sense, because it's sort of like, they're going to make their comparisons, I'm just going to play. Which is good. It's good that he has that attitude. And I feel like this is the biggest opportunity he's going to get in his career, in his life. You know? How lucky are you going to be for the Yankees to have the first shortstop opening outright in, you know, over 20 years, and there's nobody behind you? This is your job to keep or lose. Really, it's his job to keep, because they have no one to replace him with. Unless they want to put Steven Drew there.
Ali Castillo is banging down the door.
Where's like, Carmen Angelini?
Yeah, Carmen Angelini. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Cito Culver.
Hey, Cito made a nice.
Bring back Addison Murzak.
He did.
I'm pretty sure if Cito was in the major leagues right now, he would hit 100.
Yep. Just about, yeah.
And on his best day.
Oh, but yeah, so there's nobody breathing down his neck, so it's just Gregorius' job to keep. So as long as people aren't hounding him and he doesn't feel pressured, which he probably is putting a decent amount of pressure on himself, because he had a similar opportunity in Arizona where it was his job and he kind of just lost it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, of course there, I guess there's a difference with, like, Chris Owings that was coming up right behind
Yeah,
him,
that's
so.
True.
But, yeah, I mean, you would have expected him to, like, perform to keep the job, but whatever. I mean, it was a couple years ago. He's still really young, so. I think there's a good chance he could surprise. I think that as I said before, I'm kind of glad that A-Rod's around so that he's not, like, harassed about, like, not being Derek Jeter, because, like, he's still very capable in his own right, and he will be a lot better defensively than Derek Jeter was last year.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the thing is, he's a very high variance type of guy. There's that chance where he plays and he's just dreadful, because he has been really poor offensively at times, and he's really bad against lefties. But there's that small chance that he just breaks out, and, you know, he figures out how to hit lefties, he straightens out his swing against righties too, and all of a sudden he's like an above average hitter who plays really good defense.
Yeah, I just hope that if he is just okay, that people remember that he's replacing 2014 Derek Jeter and not like 2000 Derek Jeter.
Yes, 2014 Derek Jeter is definitely a different person and much easier to replace.
Yeah.
Very tiny shoes that would be easy to fill.
So.
I think we're missing the big news of the day, which is that...
What's hell with him?
The big news of the day is that former Yankee Jim Miller has a job again.
I believe we lost out in the Jim Miller sweepstakes.
I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, we missed out.
Yeah, and he signs with the Rays.
Well, Rays fans love a Sporkle quiz. So the Sporkle quiz is never complete until you have a Jim Miller.
Nope, the legend. But other exciting stuff. At least one nice thing about spring training is that it lets us actually see the prospects a lot easier than it normally would be with, like, crappy MILB.TV. So we get fun instances like Luis Severino coming in on the spring opener, pitching a couple innings and looking really impressive in the first inning, then just getting babbitt to death in the second. But then, you know, Aaron Judge.
Doing mean thing to the baseballs.
Yes. That was a lot of fun to watch him just crush that three-run home run in the ninth inning of the first game. Even if, I mean, again, these games don't matter for anything. It's just really cool to see him show off his abilities.
I mean, that was always the, like, one of the fun things about spring training.
Kind of reminds me of a couple years ago in that back when Manny Benuelos was a thing, and he had that one game against the Red Sox where he struck out a bunch of them or something like that.
That's right. I remember that.
Hopefully these will lead to more exciting conclusions than Manny Benuelos, but...
Yeah, the thing I really liked from Judge was, honestly, not just the home run, but his plate discipline. He showed a decent amount of restraint at the plate, and there were a lot of times where, like, looking at a guy like Slade Heathcott, he was swinging at everything. Like, you could see, he was just hacking away. But Judge, even though he's a massive guy and he has a lot of power and he can extend his arms pretty far... Anything that wasn't really right down the middle or right in his wheelhouse, he was kind of laying off. And he was being pretty selective with the pitches he was swinging at. So I was pretty pleased by that. Because a lot of things that people have been talking about is whether he would kind of get burned by different locations, especially inside. And he really wasn't, even though it's a small sample. But you can definitely get at least an idea of his plate discipline by watching him. And I was pretty impressed. Especially a guy with his size being able to command that type of strike zone.
Yeah, and like that, the at bat where he got the home run, I think it was a pretty long at bat too. So it was like demonstrating, like waiting for the pitch, finding the right time to, like, get the swing off on that. And, you know, he waited it out and he got his pitch. So, you know, that's what talented prospects like Judge can do.
Yeah, and I saw a similar thing with Bird, too. His plate discipline, I mean, we kind of knew that to begin with, but it was really nice to see, because his plate discipline is excellent.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly selective with pitches. That could burn him when you have pitchers that are just incredibly good with location, and we didn't really see that against him, and I'm interested to see that as he goes through Double A and Triple A. But you could see he's like the prototypical Yankee hitter, lefty hitter, you know, a lot of power and patience. And it was exciting to see, like, the Bird, Judge, Ref Snyder trio playing.
I think it's, like, right after Judge hit that home run, I thought maybe Bird had hit one out, too, because he really crushed that one pitch.
Yeah, he did.
Went for a double, and I'm pretty sure the site would have shut down if, like, Judge had tied the game with the three-run home run, and then Bird won it with a home run right after.
Yeah, I think Kenya would have just melted. Rip PSA.
Yeah, that people would have got a tad excited.
Yeah, the game thread kind of broke. But, you know, I'll always take that over, like, there's dreaded runners all over the place.
On an original to see.
I will say, though, I was pretty interested by looking at the projections for Greg Bird, just because even though he has things to work on, his major league equivalency, like most of the projection systems, already think that he's an average hitter. Which I find pretty interesting. Meaning that the projection systems think that Greg Bird is the same hitter as Mark Teixeira.
That'd be pretty bold. I don't know about that, but it's...
Yeah, definitely bold, because you don't know how major league equivalencies that carry over, but just interesting, just by what he's done.
Got them dingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. He has dingers. Yeah. And walks. So many walks. His walk rate in AA was 15.5%, and he had a 4.11 wOBA, which is pretty good.
That is okay.
Peace.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be, like, to be a really impressive hitter as a first baseman to make any notice on these prospect lists, and Bird was pretty much consistently ranked third or fourth in the Yankee system, and I don't think he made any of the big top 100s, but he did make the Keith Law top 100. And,
yeah.
So he's, like, you know, gaining attention from that. And, like, for first base prospects, that's about all you can ask for. And he's just shown a really talented bat. So with Mark Teixeira not looking great, I mean, it's hard not to dream of him maybe being there at the end of the season at some point.
Yeah. I mean, how long do they have Garrett Jones for? I think it maybe just be till the end of this year.
I want to say just this year.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it is. It was a 2-year arbitration deal, so it's the end of 2015. So Garrett Jones is gone after this year. I can envision if they wanted to segue Greg Bird into the first base position, that last year could be, you know, split time, or because I can't imagine Mark Scherer in his final year playing as many games as he has in, like. He's not going to play more than 100 games in his final year, I wouldn't imagine. And especially if Greg Bird is knocking on the door, they're going to want to give him an opportunity to play. So I can imagine him sort of being slid into the role slowly.
I mean, it all depends on if Bird can make the adjustments to the higher levels. And he did do that in his month or two with Trenton at the end of last season. But
oh, yeah, it was really good. I'd like to see that over a full season, Double A and Triple A.
There aren't many stepping stones left. So,
yep.
So yeah, that's spring training right now. I think there will probably be another game completed by the time this podcast goes up, but that's okay.
There was also Evaldi too. I didn't really get to see him pitch much.
Oh yeah.
But apparently he looked pretty sharp, and that's really encouraging. Yeah.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he had 97, showed some pretty great movements. So.
I'm very interested by the pieces written about him about his splitter, because he's, like, very similar in my mind to Gregorius in the sense that, like, there's a definite possibility that he's just dreadful and he just has an ERA in the fours again. But there's that other outside chance for, like, he works with Larry Rothschild and he just sort of taps into his potential. He works on his splitter, his off-speed stuff works out, and he just has a monster year. And I know there have already been a few lists that have already pegged him as sort of a breakout candidate, like a Kluber, not to say that he will pitch like Corey Kluber, but that type of pitcher who has the raw potential to pitch like a Kluber if things pan out.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting strategy the Yankees did in the offseason, where they the trades that they made seemed to be about acquiring almost projects rather than finished products, because I think they kind of recognized that maybe they weren't going to necessarily get like the guys that'd be more sure things. So, you know, you trade, you get a Didi Gregorius, you get Nathan Eovaldi, Chasen Shreve, Johnny Barbeito in the Sean Kelly trade. None of these guys are like slam dunks, but they definitely have some serious potential there. So,
and we've always like sort of on this podcast praised like the Yankees major league scouting. So if they see something, I think probably that's a good time.
Yeah, that's the one area where they have to be really good, just because if you're going to spend the past 20 years building your team around a lot of free agents, you have to be good at evaluating major league talent, and they've done a really good job of that. So, yeah, if there's one thing they can do, it's they can assess how good a major league player is. And I would also like to point out, and we may have done this right, but Johnny Barbeito, great name, just pirate name.
Yeah.
Just, he's definitely a pirate.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out with him, please feel free to trade him to the Pirates and make that come true.
He's just the mascot for the Pirates.
Okay. Well, there's not too. So, as I said before, there's not really too much to talk about with spring training, so we can move on. I don't want to say created, but I'm adapting a game for this particular podcast. I heard it on the, I think it's called the Back of the Bullpen podcast with Jason Wojciechowski and Matt Corey, I think. Basically, they were, and Sam Miller was guessing on that one too. And what they were doing is that, you know, since Sam Miller and Jason Wojciechowski edited the BP annual, Matt Corey was reading some names reading the comments, he was reading the comments and he was seeing if they could pick out who was attached to the name, you know?
Okay.
All right.
So, I'm not going to do that with, like, totally random players, because that'd be rude. But I picked some players who are either Yankees right now, not well-known Yankees, but either Yankees right now or were Yankees in the past couple years. And I'm curious to see if you guys can name the player that I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm going to start with Matt P.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here is the player comments. At the tip of every cell are telomeres, which protect the ends of the chromosome from damage. When cells multiply, a little bit of those telomeres is lost, until they recede to the point where there is none left. The cell can no longer divide, and it dies. Millions of this player's cells are dying as you read this, their mitochondria grinding silently to a halt, their nuclei disintegrating, their membranes taking on water until they burst. This only underscores the fact that the collection of cells that you knew as this player, the one who hit 51 doubles and stole 40 bases in 2008, is but a biological memory.
Oof. This is a Yankee.
Yeah.
In the past few years. Oh. This is Brian Roberts.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I knew that because of the doubles, because I knew that he, like, has more doubles than, like, Joe DiMaggio.
Okay. So, now we'll move to Matt F. The Angels gave this journeyman every opportunity to rekindle some of that old Tigers magic and earned the lefty half of the DH platoon in time for the postseason. Alas, he faltered, leaving right-handed teammate C.J. Crone platoonless and punchless Efren Navarro as the lefty power off the bench in the ALDS. His big league plate appearances were disastrous. He hacked at more pitches outside the strike zone than Josh Hamilton while posting an isolated power of zero against hard stuff. To be fair, that wasn't the whole tale for him in 2014. Between stints of futility with the big league club, he won the PCL batting title, joining Willie McCovey, Edgar Martinez, and Bobby Bonds in the only conceivable list that includes the four of them. He signed a minor league deal with the Reds, but he has a pretty clean look at a big league job unless Skip Shoemaker is supposed to stand in his way. And this isn't Dean Anna.
That's so. Brennan. Oh. That's Brennan Bosch, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Oh, man, I'm impressed that you knew that he won the PCL batting title.
Gotta love the PCL batting title.
I was thinking, like, who's played for the Tigers, Angels, and Yankees? And it's like, oh, yeah.
Joining the ranks of Dean Anna. I did try to find Dean Anna, but Dean Anna did not make the annual.
Like, right in on a page, like, Dean Anna, most underrated player in baseball. Just make your own comment.
The Bracota projections are just, like, his 90th percentile. Because they underrate him. Most underrated ever.
Okay. Here's another one. This is for Matt P. In a chaotic and frightening world, he is our bedrock. He's a reliable but underwhelming swingman with a reliable but underwhelming arsenal. He gets hurt each summer with such precise timing that you wonder if he is a timeshare. We should be grateful for him. In a world where the three true outcomes dominate and everyone is gradually becoming Adam Dunn, this player alone resists. If Crash Davis was correct when he called ground balls democratic, then fly balls are populist. They allow fans to whip their necks and imagine for a second that everyone is a home run. The world is sliding into methodical, stainless excellence, and the mediocrity of one, this player, gives it color.
Ooh, that's a tough one. The mediocrity of this player. Is it Phil Hughes?
No, it is David Phelps.
Oh, that was another
one.
That's
what I was thinking. I was going to go Phil Hughes. I was thinking Phil Hughes too, but he said swing man, so.
Yeah,
that was the only thing that threw me off. That was. Ugh.
Okay, so this will go to Matt F. now. And this is a quick one-line comment. There's no easy way to explain how Major League Baseball teams gave this man 172 and a third innings last season. Were life a meritocracy, that number would decrease by 172 and a third in 2015.
Oh, man. Oh, is it Vidal Nuno?
No, it is Hector Nwesi. That was a good ass.
Remember he was on, like, five teams in, like, a week? Oh, yeah, that's right. Last year he was on the Mariners, Rangers, and White Sox within a month.
Yeah, he was only on the Rangers for, like, a game, and he got blasted or something like that. Or only a few, anyway. But, yeah. I don't know how he got 176.
Because he got 166 with the White Sox. That's why.
I can't believe he got 27.
That's a lot of innings.
He got 27 starts with the White Sox.
88 ERA plus.
Next one for Matt P. Okay. Two things changed for him the instant he moved from New York last spring. Instead of backing up millionaires, he's now playing second fiddle to thousandaires. And instead of being crucified by a pitiless Big Apple press corps, he's being ignored by Midwestern scribes taught to say nothing at all if there was nothing nice to say. What hasn't changed is the fact that he is neither the bat of an everyday player, nor the dependable glove of a utility guy. Last year, he was outstanding in at least one way. His 2.3% walk rate was the lowest in the American League. So there's that.
Hmm. Is it Raul Ibanez?
No, it is Eduardo Nunez.
Oof. I did not realize his walk rate was that low.
He doesn't walk. He just swings.
Oh my lord.
He walked five times in 213 plate appearances.
Because at least in the Yankees it was like 6%, which is bad, but it's not like, you know, so bad. But man, 2.3%. Five times.
Oh, man. Dream. So next one goes to Matt F. Okay, this is another one-line comment. This player just wants to get his first Major League double, and then he'll return to his home planet. And I'll give you a hint in that it's based on his name more than his personality.
I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea.
Guess a weird name of a player.
Steve Martian.
Zealous Wheeler.
No.
Yeah, that one was a little hard one.
He did get his first major league base extra base hit, though.
He does have a home run.
Yeah, it was a home run. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't that also the same game that Tanaka tore his ligament?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Tanaka did pitch, so there's that gif of Tanaka congratulating him. That's the most adorable thing ever.
It was. Okay. This one's for Matt P. If all the 19-year-old talents in this chapter has you excited, here's a palate cleanser. 50 years from now, the only evidence of this player's professional career will be the slow, tight wince as he lifts himself out of his easy chair.
19-year-old. God, that's a hard comment. His easy chair.
I mean, he's not 19 years old. He's not 19 years old anymore. But
like, oh, wow, is this Ichiro?
No, this is Slade Heathcott.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. And one more, and I'll go. So this is for Matt F. Okay. Tired of paying extra for some name-brand product just to cover the company's advertising budget? Sick of being drawn in by empty promises of wealth, fame, and attractive numbers of the gender of your choice? Then try Generic Left-Handed Swingman. Generic Left-Handed Swingman is ready to use straight off the shelf 80% of the time and works just as well as the name-brand competitor. Check the active ingredients. They're identical. Generic Left-Handed Swingman can be used on the go, wherever you need. Over-rely on young starting pitching? Toss Generic Left-Handed Swingman a dozen starts. Everybody healthy this month? Stick Generic Left-Handed Swingman in long relief. He'll probably enjoy the rest. And even if you're not satisfied, Generic Left-Handed Swingman will probably be worth more than you paid for him. Offer not valid in Colorado.
Is this Badal Nunez?
This is Chris Capuano.
That was what I was thinking, yeah. I was thinking Capuano, and then I thought of Jeff Francis, because they said Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
So you tied. You got the first. You each got the first ones right.
Yeah,
it's about right. Yeah.
Though I think my favorite comments in there. There was no way for me to say this without making it extremely obvious about who it was. But it's like Mason Williams is still the Yankees' outfielder of the future, but now it's a future containing a twisted, smoking hellscape.
I think the other one I liked was the one for. Hiroki Kuroda that they put in for this year. Mm-hmm. It was some poem. It was a declining softly as a cloud, producing neither vales nor hills, when pitching for his own home crowd or midst the fans of far-off vills. In August, April, or June, in dark of night or light of noon, continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the lower bay, the two-run, six-frame pitching line, untouched by physical decay, on such low heights are fortunes made, and ageless pitchers underpaid. That's a great one. And the Didi Gregorius one was also fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Because that just had...
They bolded every other word.
with Derek Jeter references.
Yeah. It was, so good on defense that he could teach a class on it. Gregorius failed to crack league average on offense once again. While his glove work is unquestioned, his inability to contribute on offense is why he opened the season number two on Arizona's shortstop depth chart. You have to respect how gifted he is around the bag and his ability to do the jump throw like he's shooting baskets. Those traits will not keep him in the game for a long time, but unless or until he can be within shouting distance of tolerable in offense, he should be a backup. Not a my way or the highway type player. Gregorius should continue to progress under the tutelage of New York's coaching staff. He will work well as a defensive-minded bench player who is a bit handicapped in the batter's box. That works a lot better if you, see it, but, that's...
Yes. Like captain. That definitely works better visually.
Oh, my God. Always enjoy the BP annual, but... Okay, so... I'm gonna jump to the tweet bag.
Yep.
There's some things in the tweet bag, not too much. Probably because, again, first week of spring training, so not too much going on. This is from Jeff Francoeur's arm on Twitter. What do we know about Slade Heathcott, and what supervillain was he named after? We know that Slade Heathcote will be lucky to make it through 1 month healthy.
Yep.
And supervillain.
His parents once commented on Venture Valley.
Yes, that is. We do know that.
Forever bookmarked.
We can get emails, their emails, if we ever need them.
The world's not prepared. Oh, we also know that he's a dad now.
Yeah.
He is, and he just tweets about space.
Yeah. I guess we don't know this, but we can suspect that he gets high a lot. Or maybe he's just binge-watching Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
He's just a crazy dude. He's just a really wacky dude. If that's the right word.
And, I mean, he's got tools for days, but no one trusts him to really stay healthy anymore, so.
No, because he's just, so haphazard in the way he plays. Like, if you watch him field, he's just diving, and he's really not calculating his plays. And when he's up there batting, he's just swinging wildly, as we saw during
tools
spring
for day.
So far.
Got plenty of tools, they just have to be made out of a cheap plastic.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't imagine he goes very far at all at this point. Maybe backup outfielder if he's lucky, but man, yeah. That's high school players were drafted. So this is what he's been tweeting about. I guess now that he has a kid, he's like putting everything into perspective. He tweeted, "If anyone has 10 spare seconds today, go to Google and type in the center of the Whirlpool Galaxy, which is 31 million light years away."
I
yeah,
he's
just been
tweeting #, internally grateful.
If our solar system were a quarter, Milky Way is the size of the entire North American continent. Life is so much more than me and you.
Yeah, again, so much weed. As far as what supervillain was he named after, I don't know. I have a feeling that he would be Dick Dastardly's child.
Was he not named after the 70s English band?
70s English band Slade Heathcote.
Well, what did he name his son again? What did he name his child?
Was it Kaisian or something?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're in a world where Gary Sanchez and Slade Heathcote are fathers, so.
Oh, yeah, it's Kaisen.
Okay.
Yeah, Slade Heathcote is a father.
All right, next question from Joseph Nieves on Twitter. Who is better suited for hitting cleanup, Mark Teixeira or Brian McCann? At this point, I think you would have to go with McCann higher up in the lineup just because, I mean, he's still in theoretically in the prime of his career, and he was hitting a lot better in the second half, so I still think that he has some serious home run power, and he could do more than, I mean, Tex can hit home runs too, but I think McCann can do a lot more with the bat than Teixeira can at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
I have to agree.
I mean, lineup position is so arbitrary, but I think if your goal is to put your best hitters near the top, then you can put Brian McCann up there.
Yeah, for sure. I can understand batting Mark Teixeira cleanup just because, like, batting cleanup, you want a guy with a higher slugging percentage, and that's essentially all Mark Teixeira has done lately. So if you do want a guy with power, I wouldn't be opposed to him batting cleanup. But then you also have guys like, if Carlos Beltran's healthy, I would much prefer his bat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because when Beltran was hitting in the second half last year, he was pretty great in the time that he was healthy. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I'd be putting Teixeira, like, fifth, maybe sixth.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, even with Beltran, as you said, I have more confidence in his bat than Teixeira at this point.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's still, like, splitting hairs.
Yeah.
With lineup position like that. It's not like two whole claws.
No, they're not contractually obligated to stick them in there. Apparently on Baseball Reference, Brian McCann the nickname is listed as Fun Police.
Yes, it is. That's been around for a while, actually.
Well, yeah, that was I remember when, like, that was going around after, you know, he blocked, Carlos Gomez from finishing his home run. I didn't know that it was actually, they actually put it on B-Ref, though.
Yeah, there was a funny article about that. I think there was something like that, where they had Brian, it was created by, I think, NotGraphs created that, the Fun Police.
Yeah, and then there was another Fun Police one that was written on SB Nation, too, and it was something like, narrative, like, where he's, like, this sheriff.
the article in question, it was called Brian McCann Fun Police. It was posted in October of 2013, and it was essentially like they photoshopped him yelling into historical photos, and then we're just like, it was like Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch. It's like, we don't jump on the furniture in Oprah's house. And then it was like the sailor kissing the woman after the war ended, after World War II ended. Hey, no PDA.
At Bush League.
He's been quite mild-mannered.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's
like, even him and Carlos Gomez, like, there's that story that he's played in Milwaukee this year that him and, like, Carlos Gomez, like, buried the hatchet or whatever.
Yeah. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if, like, some of it, too, was just him being like, I'm the leader, and maybe his agent was like, you should act like more of a leader. Maybe you'll get more money for agency. I don't know.
Braves in general just seem like a really high-strung team.
Barves.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, they might have Yuri Perez, their center field.
Shrug emoji.
Yeah, they might legitimately have an outfield with both Yuri Perez and Zoilo El Monte at one point.
Getting the band back together.
Nick Markakis. Okay. So, last question. Well, actually, not the last question. I should say last question on Twitter, then there's a couple more on the actual site. From Merrill, now that two spring training games have kind of gone, who are the ones to watch this spring as having the chance to make the 25-man roster? Things haven't changed in two games, so.
Pretty much. Small sample size, so.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change for, like, a couple weeks, if that. We probably won't really have a good idea of who exactly is going on the 25-man roster until, like, maybe, like, a week before opening day. Just because most of the spots are, like, entrenched. And unless someone gets hurt, which, you know, knock on wood, we don't need more of that after watching Luis Torrens go out already. It's probably just going to stick with who we expect. And the only places where there might be some variance are, like, back of the bullpen. Maybe the last roster spot on the bench. Who is the catcher between Roman and Murphy? And that's about it.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's probably good. Yeah.
And mourn the loss of Luis Torrens' shoulder labor.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was such a bummer. That is... He's such an exciting catching prospect, and that just doesn't get to play at all this year.
Yeah, it's really a bummer. I was saying before the podcast, I saw him play at Staten Island one game, talked to a scout about him who, like, pretty much loved him, and felt that he was, like, very, very mature for his age, which is good, because if he does get hurt and he comes back at, you know, 19, 20, that he's still pretty mature for his level, but he still hasn't played a full season, which really sucks. But he's got a really, really mature body and outlook for someone who's, like, just become an adult.
Yeah, like, he's only 19 in May, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's still, like, so young, which is why I was obviously bummed out about it, but, like, didn't, like, bum me out if it happened to, like, Judge or someone, like, who seems closer. He just seems, like, so far off. He's still only 18.
He's still a dream.
It just sucks he's not going to get a full season of play. I mean, you don't even know if he'll get a full season of play next year, because that torn labrum does take a really long time to rehab. So you don't even know if he comes back next season raring to go. So you're looking at, he's not guaranteed to have a full season 100% guaranteed until, you know, like 2017, which really sucks.
But that's so it goes, prospects.
Yeah, catching prospects too.
There's no such thing as a catching prospect. Okay. Another question. This is on the site from a long-time listener, of course. I'm really curious about how A-Rod is going to do this spring training. Do you know of any news organizations that will give me millisecond-by-millisecond coverage of A-Rod's spring training progress? I can't think of any.
They don't exist.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I found about this new website just today, actually. I believe it's called Twitter. Like, apparently, like, all the Yankees beat writers are on there, and, like, they're, like, giving you, like, breakdowns of how he does and stuff. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, like, one nice thing about there actually being games now is that we don't have to hear, like, batting practice updates anymore. Or as many batting practice updates, anyway. I'm sure there will still be some of, like, oh, A-Rod hit a ball away from a fan in batting practice today.
Or my favorite was A-Rod jogging. I think my favorite one was A-Rod jogging. It was just a picture of him running, and it was like, A-Rod is jogging. Okay, cool. He can use his legs. I'm glad.
Now watch it. They'll, like, at one point, he'll hit a home run, and, like, one of the questions will actually be, you know, that question that was really made fun of when he hit his 600th home run, where there was, like, a translation problem, and the reporter was asking about, like, hitting his home run away from the fans. And he's like, I don't... Thank you.
That was the same question where the lady asked the question about the 8 special balls, and he just kept responding, thank you.
And it's like, dude, you hit it into Monument Field or something.
Yeah.
Man, that was an all-time great interview. But yeah, I'm not aware of any websites that will track A-Rod. None at all. In fact, I'm not even sure how many people are paying attention.
That actually may be true.
Well, yeah, actually, it's true. Maybe some people are just like, oh, he's probably sucking.
Yeah, a fraud.
It's really a shame that he's trying to, like, be nicer, because if I was him, I would just come out, like, in, like, a Batman costume just to mess with the media.
Like, A-Rod is confusing us.
Hey, guys. About to take some BP. Scott Bat from Saving Gotham.
I mean, I would enjoy it.
He's not the hero we wanted, but he's the hero we deserved.
Yep. All right. And the last question from Greg. Most impressive pitching performance thus far? I mean, he might be half joking just because it's only been 2 games, but, I guess I'll go with Severino, just because that first inning was insane.
Yeah, I agree. That was pretty fun.
And as we talked about before, Eovaldi.
Wait, hold on. Who's the... I can't let this go without a joke answer.
Diego Moreno?
Unfortunately, no. You bring up the bot score.
Diego Moreno pitched in the first game.
Oh, no, Wilkin Rodriguez. That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, yeah, that actually was a pretty good outing. All things considered.
Another good choice would have been Iron Mike, or whatever the pitching machine's name was, that struck out Chris Young. Actually, that might be the most impressive pitching performance, just because a batting practice machine struck out Chris Young.
Put him on the 25-man roster.
Yep. I know, I think Sam Miller was talking about, like, you know, Chris, we used to sometimes struggle between, like, Chris Young the hitter and Chris Young the pitcher, but Chris Young the hitter will now always be known as the Chris Young who struck out against a pitching machine.
Well, he also said that that's the one thing that both Chris Youngs could have in common, that both would strike out against a pitching machine.
I think the other Chris Young is still looking for a job. Just kind of funny.
That's true.
It's kind of funny because, like, he won the comeback player of the year last year, and it's not like he's, like, people expect him to do it again, but it's just odd. It's just like, oh, congratulations, you're an award, no one wants you.
Now get out.
I think there are a couple, like, I remember seeing a couple times at PSA, people saying, like, oh, maybe you should go sign him. It's like, no, that's a bad idea in Yankee Stadium. You should not do that.
He's the flyball pitcher of all flyball pitchers. Okay.
Yeah, it is weird. He did have a completely average like ERA, which you'd think, hey.
Yeah, helped partially pitching in a safe go, I'm sure.
True.
Okay. You guys have anything else to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
I do not.
Talked about Parks and Rec. Did you enjoy the Parks and Rec
finale?
It
was a pretty great finale.
I did. I loved it.
Yes. It's pretty ideal. I mean, I'm disappointed that I only started watching the show, like, in the middle of the seventh season. So, I didn't start watching it then, but, like, I was binge-watching up through most of it, because I had watched the pilot, and, because I was a big fan of The Office, and I was curious what this would be, and, I mean, the first season is admittedly very rough, so that's why, partially, I was turned off of it, but, I'm glad I jumped back into it.
Yeah, that's a lot of shows, though. A lot of shows, like, don't hit their stride until, like, the second or third season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. And the baseball reference. Just the fact that Ken Tremendous, like, created a show is just great.
It's pretty hilarious. And then, like, incorporating all, like, the Pakoda and Warp law firm or whatever.
Yeah, like, into the one episode with the credits rolling, and they just had, like, Pakoda in it.
I kind of want to look it up what it is now.
Yeah, and, like, one of the reviews, I think it was AV Club, said they would have loved if, instead of Bill Murray being the mayor of Pawnee, it should have been Joe Morgan.
What if it was Bill James? That would have been good. The law firm of Babbitt, Pakoda, Vorp, and Eckstein.
Yep, that's right.
And then at the...
And of course, they added four.
Yeah, yeah. Four and dips and wind shares.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the last episode, they added even more. So the last one was, from the losses of four dips, Windshares, Grit, Nelson, Woba, Era Plus, Z-Swing, Range Factor, Hart, Babbitt, Pakoda, Vorp, and Eckstein, LLC. And I think, like, afterward, Kendra Menace is like, yeah, Nelson finally made partner, because that was the character that was actually theirs. Oh, man. Who was your favorite character on the show?
Andy.
Andy was pretty delightful.
Andy was great. Probably mine is Ron. Ron was great.
I think for me it's April, just because I...
Oh, yeah.
I just enjoy deadpan so much.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine. She looks exactly like April, and like her personality is like pretty much exactly the same, very deadpan. And her boyfriend looks also kind of like Andy, skinnier, but also kind of looks like Andy. So for Halloween, they dressed up as Janet Snakehole and Burt Macklin.
Janet Snakehole. Just that one episode with the where they are drinking the snake juice.
Oh, yeah, that's totally... Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, that's totally just rat poison.
This stuff is basically rat poison. Well, and that's the one that produces, you know, the one Ron Swanson gif that's, like, the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yeah, where he's wearing the hat and he's dancing. Yes.
The whole montage is amazing.
Yeah.
It also includes, like, April speaking, like, Portuguese, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was, like, very, very fast Puerto Rican Spanish. I also watched the episode with the Tammys, Tammy 1 and Tammy 2, and then Ron's mom Tammy, and like they're drinking the alcohol that they called it, like Pappy's punching juice or something.
And it was like made like a bathtub or something.
Yeah. Then April tries to do a shot of it, just like ah.
It's just really funny that like he's actually married to Tammy.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah, and, yeah, Megan Mullally.
Yeah, I saw Nick Overman's show. He did a show in my school, and he was saying that he has an actual stage show with her. I forget what it's called. It's like incredibly, incredibly vulgar, but it's really, really funny. He was an interesting fellow in person.
I'm sure.
He played He played his own handmade ukulele.
I don't know why, but like I was also watching the Doppelgangers episode last night too, the one with Tennifer.
Yeah.
It's like she's the worst person I ever met. I want to travel the world with her. And then she gives the address for like Dwayne Wade's house. It's like, oh yeah, just jiggle the lock, you know.
Do you remember the episode with Chris Bosh in it?
Yes.
That was like my favorite episode where they're just like playing against the professional team, like the Eagleton. It was like, I'm better at French horn too.
Yeah. And like you could only pull that off with like Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
I think that's fair that we have to spend several minutes talking about Parks and Rec just because we're not going to talk about spring training the whole time.
No.
It's sort of baseball related.
Yep, we related it with Ken Tremendous and the law firms. Okay, well, unless you guys have anything else, I think you can start wrapping it up.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
All right, so again, follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. You can follow the GIFs account on Twitter at PSA_GIFs. Follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. You can follow Matt F. on Twitter at MattF15. You can follow Matt Provenzano on Twitter at MattProv94. And like us on Facebook. And tell your friends to like us on Facebook, too, because we really like the people tuning in on Facebook as well, not just Twitter. We have been posting a lot of stuff over there as well. So rate and review us on iTunes as well, if you ever get a chance. Always appreciate some feedback, especially since we're going into a new year. Want to know if we should do anything different, any more ideas. Always welcome. You can email me the address linked to on my SB Nation profile, too. So, we didn't do a Yankee Meteor of the Week. We will do arbitrarily fast Yankee Meteor of the Week. Matt P., Yankee of the Week.
Yankee of the Week is Aaron Judge.
Yes, that's fair.
For hitting a game-tying dinger.
Yes, it was beautiful. Matt F., Yankee of the Week.
Nathan Eovaldi for pitching good.
Yes, Eovaldi's pitched very well. It is awesome. Mine will be Luis Severino because he struck out some batters and was pretty tremendous and exciting. Matt P., your Meteor of the Week.
Mine is A-Rod because he's just drawing this whole media circus to himself, like doing all of those things that he's doing, like showing up to spring training early and putting his work in. Like he's really got a nerve.
Yeah, he's not thinking of anyone, right? It's the worst. Matt F., your Meteor of the Week.
Steven Drew because he made that error.
Steven Drew did not look great. He's not helping the matter. Like, I'm going to be a lot more patient than I think a lot of fans are as Steven Drew, but it's probably going to get pretty. And my Meteor of the Week is Hal Steinbrenner, because I say so. And he'll
always
understand the blogger's plight. Also, my Meteor of the Week is whoever was trending with Who's Andrew last night, because I don't know what the hell that was about. But didn't you say, like, one time it was, like, R.I.P. Matt was trending?
Yeah. Yeah, that was... That's a bit worse.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thanks for listening. And from Matt F., Matt P., this is Andrew Mearns. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks.